Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We ask you to bless your word to our hearts and minds. We ask you to fill us with your spirit of knowledge, of understanding, of your plan for us. We ask you, please, to make something out of our lives, to help us to get serious about the things that matter and forget about the things that don't. Forgive us for wasting our time, for idle chatter, for not doing the things that we were supposed to, God. I think about your word that says, to him who knows to do good and doesn't do it, it's sin. God, forgive us for not bringing good things to those that need it. We know that's what our job is. Help us, please. In your name, Lord Jesus, amen. The first part of the 54th chapter of the book of Isaiah is an extremely special chapter in the Bible. And the reason being is it speaks right after the 53rd chapter. There's this crazy... Look, I don't even know how to explain it, except it's written to like one specific person. It's like God takes one section of his scripture and said, listen, this is really, really important to these people. There is a people group. There is a person in this world that I really want to speak to because I know their pain more than any other. It's a very special thing. Sing, O barren, you who have not born. Now, the word barren there, the implication is feminine, although it can be applied to masculine, and I'll show you where in a minute. Basically, God looks down from heaven, speaking through the prophet Isaiah, and says, you know, there's a plight of a person, of a woman, who never bore a child. And I want them to know how special they are to me. It's a crazy thing because most of you guys have bore children. Some of you guys have borne a lot of children. And back then, even more so than today, there's that person, that woman who never bore, was considered cursed. She was considered an outcast. She was considered a failure. Not so much today. But there's these stories now coming out, and they're amazing about these women who have realized they've been sold a lion bill of goods. They were told they didn't need to have children and they would find their strength and sufficiency in their work. And now they're in their 50s and 60s. They're the, what generation is that called? The yuppie? Not the yuppie. What was after the yuppies? Baby boomers. And they found out they were lied to. And nobody to take care of them. And no grandchildren, and many of them are coming to the Lord. And God has a special chapter for them, something that he can speak directly to them, something that they can read and embrace in their hearts. And he says to them, O barren woman, I want you to sing. Sing? Why would I sing? I'm cursed. Nay, you who have not born, I want you to break forth into singing and cry aloud. You who have not labored with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. Now he deals with another woman, not just a woman who never bore a child, but also a woman who never married. And he says, because he's sovereign to this woman, I want you to know that my sovereign hand was, quote, unquote, against you this whole time. I let this happen to you. I allowed you not to find a man. I allowed you not to bear a child. But I want you to know Your redemption draws near, and it will be great. As a matter of fact, it's going to be more than great. It's going to be so great that you're going to sing more than any woman that ever bore kids. Now, for the vast majority you hear, you're like, yeah, well, I have kids, so. I understand. So you here that are here that never had a child, this is your chapter. This is your verse. This is your promise. Now, let me just peel back one layer here. Let me take a slight left turn into a part of this message for those that are here that are not yet married, that have not yet bore children, but yet there may be children in your future potentially. Here, the Lord is telling you this, and it will make sense after I read further on. Relax. I got you. I'll be your husband. And if I don't bring you a man, if you don't have kids, it's okay. I got you. Why is that important for our time? Why is it important for our place? Here's why. The vast majority of the time, people come to the Lord. The first thing they expect God to do is the one thing that they've been waiting for them to do their whole lives. Well, I want kids. I've always wanted kids. I want a man. He's got to bring men. And usually they come to the Lord, they start going to church, and right after they get to church, they start going to church, boom, guy shows up in their life. Oh, you know, well, you see, I met somebody. That's why I don't come to church anymore, because, you know, the only time we get to spend together is Sunday. You know, we have a church service on Wednesday. I work Wednesday. You know, church service doesn't start till 7 on Wednesday. I make dinner for my boyfriend on Wednesday. And usually that's the end. Bye, see ya, we never see them again. For about a year and a half. And then they come back and they go, oh, you were right, I shouldn't have done it. It's a crazy thing that God does. God says to you, in order for you to be happy with somebody else, you got to be happy alone. Did I say that loud enough? In order for you to make somebody else happy, you have to allow God to make you happy. The joy of the Lord has to fill your heart so that you can honestly say, I don't need a man. I'm not interested in finding a woman. And when you finally get to that place, when your heart's been broken enough, when you've fallen on the ground, when you've given away too much, you get to that place, you go, look, you know what? The Lord was right. I don't need me a man. Don't need me a woman. I'm good. Me and my church family. That's exactly when God brings you the one. So finding yourself happy being alone is the trick. Now, the vast majority of you here, you know, you're like, but I'm married. But so this message ain't for you then. Fine. The rest of it is. That part ain't. But the fact that God deals with every situation, every circumstance in our life, and he gives each and every one of us this, I don't know if you have a life verse. I have a life verse. Actually, I have a few of them. And most of you know this, but some of you don't. My life verse is so weird. It's obtuse even for a person like me. I pride myself, and I mean good and bad pride, on being a man, a man's man, a violent, aggressive, foul, hardworking protector of women man. And one day I was reading this section of scripture where this woman goes into the Lord when he's sitting with the Pharisees, and she starts crying, and her tears were falling on his dirty feet. And so she took her hair and started wiping his feet. I remember reading this and I'm like, oh my goodness, that is weird. Remember the first time I read it? And the Pharisees looked at each other and said, if he only knew who it was that was touching his feet, he wouldn't let that whore touch his feet. Obviously, I'm paraphrasing, but that was the implication. And he said to them, after a few other things, this woman loves much because she was forgiven much. And as soon as I read that, my heart just burst. It literally, what is this? Oh, nope, I don't do this. I don't cry. Crying's not for me. That's for other guys, weak people. Tears started streaming down my face. That's why I love God so much. Because I was such a foul piece of garbage before the Lord. So knowing, so undeserving of forgiveness. So not fair to the good people I'm surrounded with. I'm surrounded with good people who have been forgiven, who deserve forgiveness because they're decent folk. My wife is just she's like the nicest person I ever met in my life. Of course she deserves to be forgiven of everything. She's made me more tea in the last week than any human should have to make tea. For that alone, she deserves forgiveness of all her sins. I don't deserve forgiveness. And when I read that, so for you that's here, that is finding comfort in these verses, you know what? That's right. This is my verse. Sing, O barren woman, you who have not borne, break forth into singing and cry out loud. You who have not labored with child, for more are the children of the desolate. And again, the implication are more are going to be the children of the desolate. Wait till you see what's waiting for you. Then the children of married women, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent. Let them stretch out the curtains of your dwelling. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. For you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make desolate the cities inhabited. Listen, let me explain that to you in case you don't understand. Imagine a tent. Imagine you've got a bed sheet, and it's hanging. You got one post in the middle, and it's hanging down. Said, I hope you got a lot left at the end there. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to move out. That way. That way. That way. And that way. And here's what I really need you to do. Tighten the pegs. Because your kids are going to go crazy. They're going to be bouncing off the walls of your tent. As a matter of fact, you're going to have so many kids that empty cities are going to be filled with your children. Sight unseen, understanding unimaginable. But that's what God promises to the woman whom he's allowed, who he has made, who he has afflicted, barren. He says, I know, but in the end, it's going to be all worthwhile. I promise. This was through no fault of yours. This was not your doing or your undoing. I did this. I'll make it up. Pretty cool. Do not fear, for you will not be ashamed. Neither be disgraced, for you will not be put to shame. For you will forget the shame of your youth. You will not remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore. for your maker is your husband. The Lord of hosts is his name, and your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He is called the God of the whole earth. And the reason he says that is not just to the unmarried woman, but also the married woman who is barren. Listen, I did this. You will not be reproached nor bear shame from your husband, because I'm your husband and I'm darn proud of you. You've taken what I've given you and you've had to live with it, and I will redeem it. Awesome promises. For the Lord has called you like a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, like a youthful wife when you were refused, says your God. Here he explains, I did this, and I know what you've gone through. I know what you've tortured yourself with, and I know what other people have tortured you with. Almost to say I'm sorry, but God doesn't have to repent. God doesn't have to say I'm sorry. You know why? Because he could say I can redeem. Believe me, you're going to forget all about this. As a matter of fact, you'll be complaining. For a mere moment, I have forsaken you, but with great mercies, I will gather you. With a little wrath, I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting kindness, I will have mercy on you, says the Lord, your Redeemer. Man. It's also giving you single sisters who have never had children and single brothers reason to say, you know what? I can do this. If that's the case, I'm cool without kids. I don't need a man. Because if I don't have a man, God's my husband, and that's okay. And if I don't have kids, I'll have more of them in heaven. And just about the time you settle your heart in that, that's about when you'll be ready to be a good wife. Because you can't make somebody else happy if you're miserable. And single sisters here, listen what I tell you. I want a big amen from the married sisters if I say this, and it's the truth. A man ain't gonna make you no happier. Amen. For this is like the waters of Noah to me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah would no longer cover the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be angry with you, nor rebuke you. He actually says something a little bit crazy here. He actually says, listen, I made a promise to Noah that I was never going to flood the earth again. Have I broken that promise? I want you not just to look that I'm, it's kind of weird. It's almost like, hey, listen, you know, God should be able to say, got you. Over, done, it's over, right? He doesn't, though. He actually says, okay, I'm going to prove it. My promise to you is just like the same promise I made to Noah, right? Has the earth been flooded lately? No. Just like that ain't going to happen. So too, I will wash away any of your reproach. Anything that you have bore shame. I know I let this happen to you. I did it. It's not been you. No, no, stop. It's not been you. It's not your fault. I let this happen. I'm not sorry, because you're going to be more blessed, and you won't be sorry either. Whew, pretty heavy. Where did I leave off? 10? For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has mercy on you. He said a tree can grow up and die. The mountains can be moved out of their place. Hills, the sediment can wash out completely and they can be gone. It won't matter. No matter how long, no matter what, I got you, sister. Oh, you afflicted one, tossed with tempest and not comforted, behold, I lay your stones with colorful gems and your foundation with sapphires. He says, I know your emotions have taken you to crazy places. I know the blame that you've placed on yourself. I shouldn't have done this. If I would have only did this, if only this would have happened, why me? He says, I know. But listen, my love. When you see what I have planned for you, the home, the mansion, the amazing reward, you will not regret what you've gone through. I will make your pinnacles of rubies, your gates of crystal, and all your walls of precious stones. All your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. All those children. You're going to have lots of them. And you know what? A husband ain't going to be there to screw it up. Because I'm your husband. And I'm going to teach them. And you're not going to lose one of them. Not even one. In righteousness, you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression. For you shall not fear. And from terror, for it shall not come near you. Indeed, they shall surely assemble, but not because of me. Whoever assembles against you shall fall for your sake. Crazy little thing he says here. He says, your blessing is so strong that should somebody come against you, or you should pray for somebody, or you should have favor on somebody, the same favor that I showed you shall be with them. That you can actually, this is crazy, somebody could actually take shadow and shelter in the blessing that I've given you. It's not going to be even me that does it. It's your blessing that will be upon people. There's a reason God withheld this. Man, there's some crazy promises you don't find anywhere. It almost reminds me of the third chapter of Malachi. With this whole thing that he does with promise, like, try me now, test me. He is laying this down. Sister. Oh, barren. I got you. No bow to doubt it, as my dad used to say. Now watch what he says here. This is so crazy. Because every person that knows the Bible even a little bit, even if you know the Bible a little bit, I'm about to quote a verse for you. Like, oh, that's where that's from. I never knew that was from there. He made this verse only for you. Now, the rest of us claim it as our own, but he made this specifically for you. He wants the barren women to know. Well, listen to this. Behold, I have created the blacksmith who blows the coals in the fire, who brings forth an instrument for his work, and I have created the spoiler to destroy. But you know what? I add, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. Okay, everybody else can listen up again. You ladies that are here that have claimed this as your own, enjoy it. And now, in case you didn't know, that chapter was also a picture of the redemption of Christ to the nation of Israel. Lesser, but nonetheless still there. Greater for the servant of the Lord who has been barren. But he does something amazing here, the writer does, Isaiah, the Lord through him. He gives us a picture into what's described in the Bible as the kingdom age. If you don't know what the kingdom age is, The Lord Jesus, we spoke about this a few weeks ago, is going to be coming back soon to claim his own. The church will be raptured in a twinkling of an eye at the sound of the trumpet. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we who are alive and remain will be caught up, rapizio, raptured, to meet the Lord in the air. And then, sometime after that rapture, the Lord Jesus will return to the earth and the time of judgment begins. The time of grace being finished, the time of judgment begins, and us servants of the Lord, some of us, will be coming back on white horses with him, with sword and shield and buckler to defeat the enemies of God. The Valley of Megiddo, he has one foot on one mountain and another foot on the valley. I'll remember it later. My brain has stopped working years ago. And then, after the time of judgment, what will be ushered in will be what's called the millennial reign of Christ, otherwise known as the kingdom age. The millennial reign, where earth is restored to Eden-like conditions. And all those things we read about, the lion and the lamb shall lie down together, the bear shall frolic with the little boy, the little kid can reach in and grab the den of vipers and play with them. All these amazing things there. The lion's going to eat hay like the oxen, and cool, amazing, hey, no more mosquitoes, all right? Done. You guys that have dogs and cats, look, Confucius said, he who lies down with dogs wakes up with fleas. No more. No more flea bites on your legs for you guys that let your dog or cat under the blanket. Oh, I hate that. You wake up in the morning, you got flea bites all over your ankle. Ugh, I know I'm the only one. Here, he gives a little glimpse into what the kingdom age is like. You who have been bereft of morals, you who have lost your sense of direction, you who have spent your life, who thinks that the reason that you serve God now is because you're trying to earn his affection and his love. I've seen servants of God who just serve God because they think they need to earn something from God, who think that if they don't serve God, he's going to be mad at them, or they think they owe God such an amazing debt that they just got to keep working and working and work themselves to the bone. Here, the Lord Jesus says, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price." Look, I don't know how you grew up. I know how my children have grown up. Without an understanding of certain things, when you've never felt what I'm about to describe to you, there's nobody that can tell you what it is. But I remember going into a store about 3 p.m. and telling the guy, "Hey, I locked my keys in my car. Do you got a hanger?" And they come out and they give me a hanger. And I go, "No, I need like a metal hanger." "Oh, yeah, so here's a hanger." And I take the hanger and I throw it and I put it in my back pocket, because that night when I went to sleep in my car, I would see the bread truck pull up and deliver the bread to the deli that was in my neighborhood. Now, the bread guy would have a key, and he'd open, and there'd be a first gate, and he'd step in, and there'd be the door to the deli. And he'd take this big box of bread, and he'd put it there, And then he'd turn around and he'd close the gate, boom, boom, and he'd lock it. And then he'd leave. And I'd watch him. Sometimes he'd be there at 2, 3 in the morning. Sometimes he'd be there 4 or 5. I didn't know, but I had to do it because at 6:37, the deli guy would get there. And as soon as that guy would leave, the bread guy would leave, I would open the hanger, and I'd sit there, and I'd stick my arm in, and I'd poke the Italian bread and get it out, and I'd get as many loaves as I can because that was my food for the day. And if I could get a couple of bucks, if I get a day's work or something like that, I'd go buy ramen noodles, but we didn't have microwave ovens. I didn't have a microwave oven. So I'd have to ask a friend if he could give me a pot of boiling water so I can make some food for the week. If you know what it's like to not have enough money for gas, and get a job and say, "Hey man, I got work for you. Brooklyn." Can't get to Brooklyn. I was in Queens. Brooklyn, you can't get a ride. People that don't know what it's like not to have a vehicle. Like, I drive my new truck. My truck is a 2016. I have a new truck. Some of you guys here are like, "No, it's 3 years old." No, it's new. It's a 2016. And every time it flips over, right now I'm at like 45,000 miles. Every time another 1,000 miles, like, "Lord, I just want to thank you. I can't believe I drive a new truck. I can't believe it." Do you know what it's like when you get a flat tire and you go to the used tire place? You have any decent used tires? I need a decent used tire. And you're looking through the guy's used tires. He's got the big stacks in it. "Well, there are used tires in the back. Yeah, let me check there." And you bring it one. "Is this a 16? Is 7? "Yeah, that'll fit on your car." "How much, Joe?" $30. "Joe, it's a used tire." $20. "But I ain't mounting it for you." "How am I supposed to get on the car?" $10, $20, go back and forth. $20, $25, used tire, mounted on it, deal. Deal. Man, just that they had a good used tire there was the Lord, man. Was the Lord. You find out somebody had cash on them. No. Innocent I was not. Afflicted I deserved. Hungry is where I should have been. When you're from my neighborhood, most neighborhoods I know, the only thing that a hungry belly brings you jealousy and envy and hate. And if you got money on you, don't let me catch you alone. Why should you have money? Why were you born into your family? Why couldn't I be born into that family? Before you go feeling sorry for me about my sad tale. Amen? Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. You have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I'll make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. Indeed, I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader and a commander for the people. Surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and nations who do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. It's exactly what I was just talking about. Listen, to know that in the end of the days, food will be free. Look, I don't want to make believe. It's been 20 years since I had to worry about what meal I ate. I'm blessed enough not to really have to look at the price on menus. When my wife goes to the store, I give her a blank check, get whatever you need. But I never, ever forget where I came from because I know what it did. And I also makes me have mercy on young brothers who do crazy things with their lives and young sisters who have done foolish things with their bodies. Hunger will drive you to do things you never imagined. And here the Lord Jesus, he says, seek God while he may be found. I know you've had to do crazy things. Do you know how many abortions I've been a part of? Because I think I couldn't afford the kid. How the heck am I going to raise a kid? I'm stealing bread from the freaking deli 3 days a week. And now I got to go borrow $250 to abort my girlfriend's child. Oh, what we've done. What we've done. What this society has done for money. Commercialism that God, I'm sure, just hates with a passion. How we sold our souls. I'm sorry, God. But before we read verse 8, you ever asked God why? Why me, God? Why do you let this happen to me? Why me? Why does this have to? Why? Well, God has an answer for you. Another one of the most famous verses in the entire Bible. Any Christian with even a cursory view of the scriptures knows this verse. As soon as I start saying it, you'll say the rest of it in your head if you know the word even a little. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. How good is it to know, for me, not only have I been abundantly pardoned. Guys, I know just like I was speaking to the barren women, I'm only speaking to a select few brothers in here. You think you've done things that God can't forgive you for. You think, I remember so desiring to love God. I used to go to Catholic church a couple times a year. Maybe it was Christmas, maybe it was an Easter. And I so wanted, we'd be there, all my friends dressed to the nines. It's Christmas and we're looking, I remember being at church and looking up at that crucifix and going, I am stuck. There's no way out of here. No way. This is where I am. I am never leaving this neighborhood. I am stuck here. Oh, how I would love to serve you, God. Oh, how I'd love to give you my life. But you don't understand. I'm stuck. There's no way out. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Am I alone here? I remember being stuck. And then allowing that desire to serve God to turn into an anger toward God. Well, if you're God, then why are you letting this happen to me? I don't get it. And God says, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. I have a plan. But why did you let me go through this? Because how else are you going to tell other people that there is an escape? How else are you going to tell other people you've been hungry? How else are you going to tell other homeless people, other lonely people, other hurting people, unless you've gone through it and come out on the other side better for it? And I could tell you that's there now. Someday you're going to look back and thank God for these times. I do. But going through it, man, it sucks. Man, it sucks. Beating somebody else unconscious because you're angry that they have. I didn't have to find a reason to be mean to somebody, to hurt somebody. The reasons were all there. You have what I don't. That's enough. Now, it almost seems like he completely changes subject here, but he doesn't. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Jesus. I don't know if you remember anything, but I remember being in junior high school. For you guys I think you guys call it middle school here. We used to call it, in New York, we called it junior high school. That's 7th and 8th grade. Some schools had 7th, 8th, and 9th. I wasn't. I was 7th, 8th grade. And they did this play. And in the play, they quoted a verse. And the verse was, "Resist the devil and he will flee from you." And I remember when they said that, I was like, what was that? I don't even know. The Bible, I had no, listen, less than no clue about the Bible. Like most families, especially Catholic families, grew up with a Bible on the table. There was no Bible in my house. There was no Bible on the table. But that verse just stayed with me. The word that God sent forth will accomplish that. Sometimes you send somebody a verse and you don't know. Somebody says a verse, you don't know. And God says, listen, just speak the word. It'll accomplish that for which I send it. Just like the rain comes down, waters the ground, flowers grow. One waters the ground, one gives bread, one gives seed. So is the same as my word. You don't know whether you're watering, whether you're harvesting. You don't know. Speak the word. Give people a word. Anxiety in the heart of a man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. But a good word makes it glad. For you shall go out with joy. See, that's my verse. My wife's name, Joy. I shall go out with joy. My wife's name, Joy. And be led out with peace. The mountains and hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. What a picture. Imagine the trees clapping hands. Boy, that's where Lord of the Rings came from, right there. It should say, an ant shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Say amen. Amen. Close your Bible. As I said last week, I will reiterate this week. Read this over and over and over again. Remember those verses. You sister that is here, that this Bible verse was for, the Bible study that was for you, embrace it, hold on to it. receive your promise, and don't let anything or anybody or any thought or any vain imagination or any curse of the enemy take it from you, because nothing that God blesses can the enemy curse. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the experiences that you've given us. God, I do pray for my brothers and sisters that are here right now, that are going through the toughest of times, that, man, they're wishing they would be over, and the things that they've done trying to get away from them. I'm with them, God, and I know that you're with them. I thank you, God, and I pray over those people that are here tonight, for your word declares that while we were yet sinners, you died for us, the ungodly, that you were closest to me when I was at my worst. That kills me, God. I'm sorry you had to see me like that. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the amazing promises you gave us tonight. No weapon that's fashioned shall prosper against us. Hallelujah and hallelujah and amen. And we love you, Lord. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. Amen.